I like that. All right, bro. I'm feeling this. Look at that song.
We so high.
All right, putting this up on game. That was a 8-0 featuring Sheik Soraya, Higher Than You, by way of DJ Tufeli of the Tough Block Podcast. Who's here, by the way?
Yeah, what's up?
Cannabis connoisseur, sports enthusiast. You want to say anything, bro?
No, I'm just a podcast fan, a fan of the Isle 7 podcast.
All right. The following contains content not suitable for the youth under the age of 17 without adult supervision. So if you could, please remove the youth or find a better time to listen to this. Give you a few seconds. Welcome to Isle 7. My name is Savage. This is my wife,
Ricky.
We are in the Cove right now, our home base operations, and this is Beach Talk for the Long Walk. Like I said, episode 6, our mid-season finale, we got DJ Tufeli. Bro, you want to shout out anything? You want to let us know what's going on with you and what you got coming up?
Man, I'm just I'm blessed to be back on the Isle 7 podcast. I appreciate y'all having me on. Big shout out to our team, iGuideMedia. Check out iGuideMedia on IG, YouTube. Also, shout out to my podcast, Tough Block Podcast, yeah. Featuring myself and my brother.
Monix.
Shout out to my brother. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday,
happy
bro.
Birthday, bro.
Yes, I.
But yeah, I appreciate y'all.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We here would like to thank Anchor for the free distribution of our podcast. We don't take that lightly. Go ahead and download the Anchor app and look us up at Isle 7 The Podcast. It's all about self-progress. Today's episode is dedicated to the memory of Ray Bui Niao.
Man, bro, we miss you, we love you, condolences to the family and everyone else who met Ray. Ray was a very good person. I had the honor to meet him when he came out here, what, a couple years back?
Last time I remember seeing him, was it David's wedding or was it Paso's?
No, the reunion. Remember the reunion?
No, that was before.
But Ray, condolences to his wife, his kids, his mom and dad, his family. You know, rest in peace. We love you.
You got anything to share, bro?
Congrats, Ray, for getting your wings.
Yes, man. Amen.
I appreciate you. I said it on my IG, but I appreciate everybody in this family that I met for bringing on a young Uso as myself and just welcome me with open arms. And Ray was never different. Every time that I saw Ray, especially after, I'd always apologize to him because I'm always drunk. But anytime I, you know, as Polynesians, especially because I'm Samoan and, you know, you guys are Tongans,
yeah.
I always felt, you know, when you're intoxicated, you're not supposed to be like that in front of a family member, especially in-laws. Yeah. But Ray never made me feel uncomfortable. Every time I was like, man, I'm sorry, bro. He's like, bro, go get another one. I'm going to miss you, Ray. Man, and even though we had a small, like, short little run-ins, you made a big impact in my life, man. Congrats on getting those wings again. I'll see you up there, my man.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Ray. Tui Nail. Our thought of the day. Am I okay? Like, literally, when was the last time you guys asked yourself, am I okay? I think it's important for us to, take part in self-care before we can care for anybody else. So, thanks. Am I okay? You guys have anything to comment about that?
I think the last time I've asked that was 7 years ago when I first had my daughter.
Oh, man. What about you, bro?
I'm lactose, so I say that every time I have lactose.
Something don't feel right.
That is pretty good, man. I never asked myself that.
Today's song of the day is Whitney Houston, I Have Nothing, released in 1992.
In my bank.
Tag us to a video of you vibing to it on your IG story at @Isle_7_thepodcast. Whitney Houston, I Have Nothing.
Should have went to the part where it's like, I have nothing.
I don't have many things right now. I'm just waiting on this fucking stimulus check right now.
I don't have lyrics. So.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a very dramatic buildup. So rest in peace to Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
We're going to move on. That was the song of the day. Our number of the day, 2. Wherever you are when you come across it, dwell in the moment.
True is up.
2. Oh, yeah, shout out to 702 Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought about that.
Our color of the day. Would you like to read that?
Yeah. Color of the day, purple. If you see it, say it.
You sound to win it.
Hashtag Issa
purple.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Hashtag
purple.
Love you, sis. Purple. R.I.P., sis.
R.I.P. Okay, so that was color of the day. Moving forward. Our person of the day, Grace Lee Boggs. Grace Lee Boggs was an activist, Asian American woman. Go ahead and do your research, search her up, and let us know what you find out about her. Grace Lee Boggs. Our quote of the day. Would you like to read that?
Yes.
Read this guy.
Quote of the day. We waste time looking for the perfect lover instead of creating the perfect love. Tom Robbins.
Yeah.
Was that his quote?
Yeah, that was his quote. He said, once again, we waste time looking for the perfect lover instead of creating the perfect love, by way of Tom Robbins. What do you guys get from that?
Bro, that's a beautiful quote, because that could apply to anything. That could apply to the love of your life. That could apply to the love of your career. That could apply to just life in general.
That's deep.
Yeah.
What about you, babe?
It's the same thing. It can apply to anything. It doesn't necessarily met the love of your life, because it could just be a career, like DJ said, or it could be, your kids, or it could be anything.
Yeah. I think the important thing is like, if you ever venture out into anything or something or someone, like, it has to be important that you know yourself well.
Mm-hmm.
I think personally for me, like, I discovered a lot of things about myself because I thought I knew myself up until, it was those unforgivable, embarrassing moments that would humble my ass. So,
right.
We waste time looking for the perfect lover instead of creating the perfect love. I hope that sits well with you guys.
It does. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Moving forward. Our goal of the week, no profanity. No profanity.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's going to be hard.
Fuck. When you have
especially you as a parent.
Yeah, might as well get it out right now. Fuck shit, bitch. our congratulations.
He sounded like fucking Drew Deasy.
You bitch.
Shout out to Drew Deasy. If you listen to this, that's tight as fuck. Our congratulations.
If you don't, that's cool too.
Whatever the case might be, you still dope as fuck. Our congratulations. We give congratulations to the young couple, Mr. and Mrs. Fakauho.
Yeah.
We pray love and understanding over your covenant. Know that if you guys ever need help or advice, we're here for you guys. Love you guys.
Congrats, by the way.
So, how do you guys feel about that?
Man, that was a
lit. I don't approve. Fuck.
No, the wedding was good. It was lit. The Samoan.
You were lit.
No, the Samoan, they
lifting up chairs and shit.
They came through. I love the history behind it. Just like Thule's family as well. They all came through, and just the unity about it, it was pretty cool. So to see another culture, we're all Pacific Islanders, but just seeing how rooted each culture.
The camaraderie and the unity.
It was beautiful. It was nice. So congrats.
Why you say the Samoans like you're not Samoan?
I am.
Yeah, bro. You don't even have to disclose that. Everybody knows now.
No, but it was really good. It was unity there. Everything was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't get to see y'all on your wedding. Congrats if y'all do hear this, man. I'm happy as hell for y'all. Bridget, I've known you for a very long time. Even Thule too, man. I've known you for a very long time. It's about that time.
Yeah.
I'm happy for y'all, and I hope y'all stay thriving.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Congrats.
Moving on. Our workout tip. Jog in place for 5 minutes. Jog in place for 5 minutes. Today's PI scene that we are featuring today comes by way of my wife's very good friend from her rugby team, Jay Rusha Ako of Jay Ru Fit. Oh, is it Jay Ru Fitness?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Ako Fitness. Jay Ru was born in Oahu, Hawaii, raised in Northern California. A fitness trainer empowering women through fitness. She represents strength, power, and beauty. Any ordinary woman empowering other women to do extraordinary things is her mantra. Uses fitness as a tool to help women in unlocking their full potential. This is a passion. She witnessed one of her friends do something incredible in the gym. She realized at the moment that empowering women, supporting them, and helping them to reach their goals is what she was put on this earth to do. It's what she loves to do as of right now. Watching someone transcend into the person they were always meant to be is truly gratifying to her. Her purpose is to break the glass ceiling on female stereotypes in fitness and show that women are not only beautiful, but can be strong and powerful as well. The dream is to inspire women everywhere and help them change their lives through fitness. There's no limitations to how great you can be. She wants people to remember that she believes in her clients and supports them to the end. She loves to cook and bake at home, also watching Netflix and being a homebody, relaxing at home with family. She wants our followers to know it's never too late to be the best version of you. So start now, wherever you are, and don't give up. That's Jay Rue of Jayako Fitness. Sis, we love you.
Love you.
You want to say anything about it, babe?
Yeah, man. You know, congrats on what you're doing, you know, in the future as well. But also, you know, I'm proud of who you became. You know, the Jay Rue when I met 100 years ago, you weren't the way you are today. So the positive that you're pushing is man, it's really good. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and Jay, you know, it's always an honor and a pleasure, you know, hanging out with you and working out with you. I think what you're doing is a great thing. And if there's anything you need from us, you know, just let us know. I definitely have her links somewhere around here.
Don't let me know.
Handles, Instagram.
We're going to put it right here.
Somewhere. Right here. It's like right here, right now. Yeah, but that's cool. I really like that. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, yeah. Jay, I don't know you as well, but it only takes one person that you need to inspire.
Set
and
it
everyone
up.
Else
hey.
Is going to start falling
that's
through.
It.
And you already have a huge, huge clientele. I've been watching. Congrats. Yeah. Keep pushing that shit. Keep thriving.
Cool. So, I'm good with it.
I'm good with it.
Yes. So, good shit. Keep going, Jay. Opening statements. You guys have anything to open our discussion with? Any statements?
Keep pushing.
That's what I say on my target.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. So, I just had to quote that because I was thinking about Menace to Society while drinking, the one with the Wayans brothers. So. I was just, fuck, I thought about it. I thought about that Muslim dude in the jail cell saying that. Yeah, so that's my opening statement. Everybody good?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, so this is our prayer point, our point of prayer. We can't really do anything without praying and giving thanks to that which we believe in. And whatever you believe in or whatever you follow, it's just important that we ask you to, you know, give us a moment of silence so we can meditate and think of what we want to get accomplished here today. So with that being said, we're going to jump into prayer points now. Ready? Begin. Okay, I'm good off that. How you guys feel?
I am good.
Okay. So we're running according to schedule. Is there anything you guys want to say before we get this started?
Oh, and by the way, we were going to have DJ's wife here, but, you know, when
she's
you have...
She's knocked the fuck out in the room right now. So, the room's right here. We're shooting right here. She's asleep right there.
Shoot that room up. But yeah, other than that, man, we're happy to have you here, DJ.
Yeah, definitely. But it's always good. It's always good, bro. You have anything to say before we get started?
No, man, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Well, with that being said, here's one for the haters. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, bow! We'll get started with this session. So, cool. Go get you something to drink, and we'll come back. All right. Welcome back. We're jumping into our 7 subjects of discussion. Fuck, dude, I can't stop thinking. I tried to say it right without saying discussion.
He's like, 7.
What's the guy? 15, 16, 17, 18. Our 7 subjects of discussion. Number 1, hoe, slut, or player. Number two, growth, but no change. Three, in prison with no bars. Four, family over family. Five, the Gregorian calendar. Six, postpartum depression. Number seven, sober thoughts into drunken words. With that being said, since you are our guest today, what would you like to speak on, bro?
Damn, that's a good one. What was the last four?
The last four was family over family, the Gregorian calendar, postpartum depression, sober thoughts into drunken words.
Now, I'm not trying to be difficult, but what was the first three ones?
bro, did you smoke?
That's the problem.
First one was hoe, slut, or player. Uh-huh. Growth, but no change.
Yeah.
Imprisoned with no bars.
Ooh, I like two and three. Let's go with the second one.
So growth, but no change. And what that correlates with is, like, you ever feel like being you're in a circle where you see the growth, but really anything can grow, but it doesn't mean it changes.
For sure.
So why I thought it was important to highlight that on today's discussions is that I feel personally the reason why I'm not affiliated with a lot of people is because I see the growth. And I mean, as far as, you know, hey, you're gathering a family, you got a job, you got a car, a house and stuff, but I don't see the happiness in that equation. So you can grow, but I don't believe growth is a sign of you changing. And when I mean change, like for the betterment, like for improvement. So what do you guys get from that?
Go ahead.
So growth and not changing, that doesn't apply. I don't see it going. Those two had to go together.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to change, that's part of you growing. But if you're just growing and then still carrying on the bitterness that you still have, or like the mindset that you still got, it doesn't. So for instance, like, let's say you change in a way, like you went from square one to square two, meaning instead of you living in an apartment, you're now buying a house. Your financial is now growing, but you yourself is not. You know what I mean? The mindset you're still going from here, it's still the same. So really, you can grow and go right back down because your mindset hasn't changed. You know what I mean? So that's what I got from it. That's why I think it's very powerful that you brought that up, because there's so many people that I come across, and the one thing I know why it never, a relationship does never go from there, is because they haven't changed.
Right.
Their ways is still the same way I've known you. You know, so you're growing and everything. It doesn't even make any sense if you're growing, but you're not changing. Right. You know what I mean? So,
what about you, bro?
Yeah, for me, first thought was, I feel like, especially with our generation, no one's
key. That's the key. That's key right there.
Yeah, no one taught us how to grow.
Yeah,
and we're all just trying to figure out, but we're still not changing because we're still stuck in that same little small mind frame of what we were when we were younger. At least I can speak on that for myself.
Yeah,
like throughout this whole thing, for whoever listens to the podcast, you've seen it. We're about to hit a year, and we've grown. But even still, through me, my own personal things, like of just procrastination, of just self-doubt, listening to old toxic thoughts of my personal self.
Fuck, that's good.
I wasn't able to let go of those things, so I'm still growing, but still inside, I'm still not changing.
Yeah.
And it really did take a long time. Heroes really do matter. Find someone that you can reflect yourself off of. Someone that you
see. Like-minded people.
Yeah, someone you see that your footsteps are starting to follow, and try to emulate in your own way. Don't be them, but be your own version of that. And that's what really worked for me. I mean, my brother makes fun of me all the time, but literally everything that Nipsey Hussle has done, man, I did it, man.
It's a fucking code.
Yeah, my whole life has changed, and I needed that motivation to be able to grow more, to be able to branch out, because you can be a growing tree, but that one branch is still growing healthy, but the rest is dead.
Yeah.
Good, you know what I'm saying? So
that's that circle shit we're talking about. Get away from that, like that fucking mentality, man.
Yeah. So just because you weren't taught how to grow doesn't mean that you can't continue to grow in all aspects. So, yeah, I like that subject. That was really powerful.
Yeah.
No, thank you guys for elaborating on that. I think, so, I mean, just like the latter two, like, growth but no change, this is, to me, necessarily, you can change, mm-hmm. but if it's working, do you need to change? So, like, Gary Vee once said this thing about, you know, how he would go into these business meetings and they would laugh at him because he would talk about social media and how he sees the growth in it, but just because, you know, they see him and his business wasn't, at the time, wasn't popping or booming yet because he has a winery. Right. He called Instagram, he called Twitter, he called, you know, TikTok and all these social media platforms before they blew up. And the reason why that was is he had a passion for entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in the game and studied it. And when he realized that these people weren't paying attention to what he was doing, he didn't change. So not only was he growing, but because he saw his surrounding not growing with him, it was he didn't flinch. He didn't fucking falter from what he already set out and believed in his goals, was that I know what I see and I know what I'm speaking on. So I'm not going to change my mind because you guys don't see it. It's just that when it comes about, I don't want to hear that shit about, fuck, you were right, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even that's true, too. Like, you don't necessarily have to change. Whatever is working for you, if it means your growth is better for you and it's improving, you know, you can change it, yeah. or you don't have to change it. Either way, just as long as you recognize it. It goes back to what we were saying as far as, like, creating the perfect love for yourself.
Yeah.
So
It's still part of the changing, though. Even if you don't change, it's just a fact. It's a mindset.
It is.
I can say, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like when you were saying, like, about the tree, and one branch is just off. It's the same thing with having, like, a fruit
chop
bowl.
That fucking tree down.
A fruit bowl, and then one fruit is bad. It's gonna spoil all of it.
Yeah.
So it's all about mindset. If you, like, let's say if you're broke, if you tell yourself, "Nah, I'm rich."
Yeah.
You can make the dollar bill that you have in your pocket out to be $100. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like when you're, like, I can speak on it. It's like when you're poor and you keep growing, but you still have the old underwear from like a couple years ago.
Yes. I mean, I guess that's the sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
In order for you to go to work, just wear the same pair. Fuck it. I'm still going to make these hours happen.
Keep changing it inside out.
flip it sideways. Wear it this way.
Man.
I'm
That's
good with
good.
That.
Me too.
Okay.
I'm good.
What about you, babe? What do you want to choose?
Whole
slut player, in prison with no bars, family over family, the Gregorian calendar.
Postpartum
depression. So why I wanted to talk about this is because I don't...
Damn.
I don't personally... I've never came across anybody that I know personally that had it, but I know of people who had it.
Mm.
And the symptoms are so scary. Like, when I looked this up and did the studies, is like, to be detached from something that came out of you and feel nothing for this child that you bear because of what your hormones or what your I think it's your brain activity that tells you this, it's sad.
Yeah.
I don't wish that upon anybody, but that's something that even the women themselves can't control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this phenomenon that happens with women, postpartum depression?
You go, because I know you've dealt with it. Go ahead.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
So, oh shit, I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah,
so that's crazy.
I really wish that my wife was here for this topic specifically.
Yeah.
She could really elaborate.
Yeah, wake her ass up.
and I'm nowhere, shape, or form able to speak on something that I don't deal with personally, but I do deal with the aspects of it. So I'll just preface it with this. Young men, if you do happen to get a woman pregnant, if you already made the decision to get her pregnant, stick by her side. She is not herself. This is her body literally trying to get back to normalcy. Sometimes that puzzle doesn't always get back the way it was made, you know? So that's one thing that for me was really, really tough for me to understand. From our first child, no one told us what postpartum was. I've heard all these documentaries of all these women that had done terrible things to their children, but I never understood why. We didn't find out until our second child about postpartum. And when we were talking to the doctor, she was describing back like symptoms of postpartum. I'm like, oh shit. Man, we're going through that right now. But we had no idea. But even though you are starting to get educated through it, it doesn't prepare you for what's to come. it's mentally tolling, it's physically training for the women themselves. Lita can speak on it a lot better than I could, but as a man, it's very, very hard to watch it mentally deteriorate someone that you love, especially someone like your wife that's bearing your children, mm-hmm. and then seeing them go through these mood swings, and you could be happy as hell because you just had your child, especially as a man, but that postpartum really does kick ass,
yeah.
and it's unforgiving, but you just gotta, just like anything else, you just gotta stick with it and keep believing it, like, just nurture the woman, that's all you have to do. I know it's hard, especially this time of day, but if you're committing to having a child, condition yourself to at least assist in that that's way, good. As that's a man, that would be my recommendation, or my advice.
That's good.
Fuck, I didn't even know that, bro. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, straight up, real talk. Like, this is the first time I'm fucking hearing this. Like, I had no idea you guys were going through
that. Yeah.
For me, the reason why I'm speaking on it, I've never know that. I never tell myself I have it. Yeah. I tell myself to speak into where it doesn't mess with my mind. Because it is a mindset.
For sure.
But I think looking back, the one thing I can literally say postpartum was there. I'm not going to say I did have it, but I will say this. When I had mama, I'll be honest, I didn't want to be a mom. Like, it changed my whole mindset to saying, like, oh, you know what? I'm not ready for this. I don't want to do this, this and that. You could be having it and be blind to the fact. You know what I mean? But the one thing that I've always known as a woman, I've always had a strong mindset, so it never really messed with me. But it's also like a thought process as well, because while everything looks so good, you yourself, like you said, babe, earlier, like, ask yourself if you're okay. A lot of times, mom don't do that 100%. Because their schedule is so, like, it's running throughout the day. So postpartum to me is a real thing. Like, I've seen it with your auntie, because that was another reason why it showed out. I was aware of, because I didn't know that does happen, you know? Yeah. So there's a lot more to touch up on, but I've known Nene did have that, so. Yeah.
I would like to say, sorry, go ahead. Interrupt, but just like anything else, just also understand that you are not as, I don't know how to say that.
Say whatever way it comes out, bro. Mm-hmm. We'll help you.
Just understand that it's okay to feel weak. And I'm not trying to say that women are weak or none of that.
Oh, no.
It's just, when you're in that vulnerability, you have to admit to yourself that
you need help.
Yep. Especially as Polynesian women. And just Polynesian in general, we're stubborn as shit. Mm. And then add Polynesian women to that. It's our culture tells us, stop being stupid, stop being weak.
Yeah.
You can do it. Get through it. Mm-hmm. Suck it up and get through it. But no, you have to take time for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to allow yourself to feel those emotions and stop and
go through it.
Go through it for real. But yeah, my bad, bro.
No, you're good. The reason why it interested me is because doctors can't treat it. Like, I don't care what you say. They can't. There's no medication for it because... Oh, well, yeah, we'll get more into that, but what the study I got as far into is they do the brain scans, they put them through the machine, mm-hmm. and they see the brain pattern changing, but physically they can't see anything on them that's telling them, how is this possible?
Yeah.
And that's why they refer to it as a phenomena, because the woman is literally being torn apart, I think, mentally, to where it's like the body's responding to what she's thinking of. And this is not something they make up, but it's really actually happening, and nobody can experience it but the woman herself. So it kind of spooked me out when I did the study on this.
We gotta have a part two on this. We still have got more to say about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm good with that. For now.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
Part two.
So we're gonna go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll probably get some more overtime about this, and we'll elaborate on it. But there's some water. We'll come back. So. Aye, aye. I'm just being fucking rude. All right, guys, welcome back. Jumping into our discussion. Fuck, now Yeah, our discographies and the concussions popping the fuck out right now. Anyways, going back into our subjects of discussion. We got hoe, slut, or player, in prison with no bars, family over family, the Gregorian calendar, sober thoughts into drunken words. So you two chose. I'm going to go ahead and choose the Gregorian calendar because it's really easy. I just wanted to bring light to this. It's not really anything to talk about, but the Bible is 2,700 years old, rounded off about 3,000 years. The Bible has been around. The Gregorian calendar, as far as to my understanding, is 2,020 years old, 2020. So the funny thing to me is that the difference would be what, 700 years?
Mm-hmm. Wait, is it?
when the calendar starts and when the Bible's written.
About 600. Mm-hmm.
There's a gap in between.
Mm-hmm.
And what bothers me about that is those missing 700 years of history isn't written anywhere in world history. It's impossible to find. Like, if you guys understand what I'm saying, you'll basically probably Google after this and you'll look up Gregorian calendar, start of the Bible, and then that period of time right there, there's nothing written in history of what happened in that time period. I believe what happens after that is the Crusades, the Catholic Church sends out their military, their army. They basically, you know, kind of force people under their religion. That's actual history, so I'm not making that up. But the 700 years in between, something's missing. So I just wanted to bring that up because the Gregorian calendar is 2020 years old now, and we're writing off this calendar. But before that time, what happened is all I wanted to bring up. What do you guys think about that?
Dinosaurs.
Hey, that's crazy. That's about 680 in between. So if you round it, that's what, 700?
Yeah, there's missing history in that time period.
That's crazy. I honestly don't know. This could be a lot of stuff.
It's just like how you said, and it's just like America. You conquer someone, you wipe out their civilization, and then you place it on your own history.
That's program.
It makes a lot of sense. And fuck you, colonizers.
Yeah, we're all for that. So yeah,
that's crazy.
Look, just look up, do your own research. I just wanted to bring that to light that the Gregorian calendar is only 2020 years old. Before that, the Bible is 2,700 years old, and why I correlate the two is because the Bible is the only thing that's recorded since that period, but nothing else after, as far as books. Yeah, you'll find literature and things of that nature, but world history, nothing's recorded. So I just found that interesting.
I just have a question. So if the Bible is 2,700,
as far as wars, as far none of like trades through the Atlantic and the Pacific, you can't find none of that as far as in ledger. Why is that?
No, but what I'm saying is that if the Bible is 2,700, and then the year is 2020, so someone just pick up.
I'm not gonna say someone. I'm not gonna say that. It's just, it's missing. It's just, it's not there. That time period, there's nothing there. It's weird. So I'm good with that.
Good with it. I have nothing to say.
Okay, so back to you, DJ. What would you like to choose? We got hoe, slut, or player, in prison with no bars, family over family, or sober thoughts into drunken words?
Let's do sober thoughts into drunken words.
Oh, God.
So this is pretty self-explanatory. How many functions do we go to where it starts off nice, and it's always usually the quiet person who never has shit to say and is not least dramatic, gets drunk, and ends up fucking the whole thing up. The whole event, the place, the person, whatever the case might be.
Shit.
Sober thoughts into drunken words.
And every person, every family has that one person. And if you don't know who that person is,
you're that
you
person.
You are that person.
You are that person. Yep. What do you guys get for that? You guys share your thoughts on it.
So for me, I won't say name, but this person has been someone very, very close to me. Never drunk, never get drunk, never drink his whole entire life. And every time he drinks, is the opposite, and it either gets bad or it's good, but it depends on the surrounding that he's around. So
it's not me, is it?
No, did I grow up with you?
I was like,
did we eat Saimini together? No, but every time they drink, it's like the inner things that they went through or what they're going through that they hoarder inside of them. It comes out when they're drunk. So a lot of time, and it's funny because the last incident that this event happened, when this person just got drunk, it created a whole mess.
Ripple effect.
Yeah, and then it was just so bad. But if you drink with this person, it's fun. It's nothing but like good love. It's the people around you too trigger everything, and then it brings back like memories of like, oh, but you know what happened to me when I was this, or like my parents left me. You don't talk about it when you're sober, but the minute you get into the drinking and all that, you're all up in your feelings and people around you, it triggers some things in you. You know what I mean? So I do know someone very close to me that happened, and sadly we don't talk no more, you know? But, you know, I just hope that he's okay, and that's all I can say. But I do like that, because myself, I'm like this when I'm drunk, I'm like this when I'm sober, and I never change, so. But
DJ?
I think it's, if we just go off of just our culture and us in itself, I think there's too much traumatic, toxic trauma that happens in our culture, which always comes out when we drink. And like you said, it's always the quiet one, but it's really because those, if you look at those people, it's always the happiest person too. Mm-hmm. It's always the happiest or the quietest.
This says a lot too.
Yeah.
You're happy, but when you're drunk, you're not happy.
Yeah.
The fuck is it? Which one is it?
But those people also need to be checked up on. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they see happy people, they
mental health, man.
Perfect, and they're fine. But those people also need to be checked up on, because a lot of them are using it as a face mask to hide their pain. I know for myself. I've done it so much, especially through my 20s, especially through my adolescence years. I really didn't realize how much I was doing it myself, but just check up on people, man. Just see how they're doing. Even though they may look like they're the happiest person in the world, there's a reason why they act up when they turn up, and they're not either getting the voice heard or like I said, it's probably something from childhood trauma, or it could be an array of things. Just don't be an asshole. Think of yourself. Think of other people and see and check up on them. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect segue into, you know, why drink and cry when you can smoke and fly?
Dang. What the
heck? No, but, I mean, yeah, we'll speak on that. But I think for me personally, it's just like with me and my brothers and my uncles, and like, we can't say we love each other in person, physically. We can say it all over the phone. We can tell somebody else, hey, when you see them, can you tell them I love them? Mm-hmm. But we can't say it when we come face to face. But when we're drunk, bro, I love you, man. I love you. But it's like, why wait till we're drunk to say that shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, really drunken or sober thoughts into drunken words hurts, because in our community, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
For me, I believe it's the masculinity to where it's like, we gotta hold it until we drink.
Yeah.
Bro, I just wanna let you know I love you, man. Like, I don't care all that shit that happened between us. I love, it's like, fuck, like, we can't just say that shit, it's over.
It's so funny you brought that up, because even like this person that I'm talking about, like some incident happened when we were still in middle, like elementary, and you still remember this years later, and then you get drunk just to tell me, hey, you remember when you take off my slippers? I'm like,
yeah. So I think,
you know,
I think the solution to that is just like DJ said, just check them on. Yeah, just check up on these people, man. I mean, there's a reason why it's that way, and it could be fixed by a simple, hey, can I talk to you for a second?
Mm, yeah.
So, with that being said, I'm good.
Good,
yeah,
babe. We have host, slutter, player in prison with no bars, family over family.
Oh gosh, I don't think I have enough time, because I'm just kidding. Family over family.
Yeah, we're going to say that, because that's...
Okay, then why us?
You're going to have to go...
Okay, host, slutter, player.
So, host, slutter, player. You knew... Basically, I think everybody on this table can agree that we've been labeled this at one point in time, but the problem is that how we're labeled, right? Because if we're men, we're players, well, we can share ourselves with so many women. With women, however, it's a double standard, because when they sleep around, it's their hoes, their sluts. And this bothers me, because in our community, we have so many words for these people negatively, but nothing good when it comes to, oh yeah, polygamists and You know what I'm saying? It's fucking weird to me that a woman who loves sex is labeled this, but a man who loves sex is praised. So what do you guys think about that?
So for me, I was labeled as a hoe all my life, which is, that's just life, you know? So,
fun, I mean, okay. Thanks for the uplifting.
No, but what I'm saying, like, you gotta control the situation. Control you can narrative. Control. Yeah. You know what I mean? People is gonna talk regardless. I could be famous right now. I am famous, you know? I could be famous.
What does that mean?
No, I'm just kidding. No, but I could be. I could be famous right now, and they still label me as what they label me all our lives.
They already made up their
and the thing is, they've never known my life at all, you know. So to be called that, it's not that I'm proud to be called that. It's just like you made up your mind, you know. So you didn't even know who I am. You just go off by a story that was told, and then you go off by that. So regardless of what you do, people are gonna talk. People are going to say whatever they're going to say. People are going to make up stuff just to make themselves feel good, because what if that's what they're going through? Facts. You know? So,
I will say this when it comes to me in my whole days. You know, family curses, you know?
Yeah. That's another thing, too.
All the men on both sides of my family are hoes. So, you know, we're just following suit.
So now you're a hoe.
We're just following the DNA. That's what the DNA says.
Get out of my podcast. This is my A1.
No, you're right. No, that's another stigma about our culture.
Yeah. But when it comes to, like, young men, I know I speak a lot on it, but it's just because I am a man. But as much as speaking on young men, a lot of us have abandonment issues. A lot of us have a lot of childhood trauma where we don't trust a lot of people. And that comes through in our relationships a lot. There's a lot of things in my own self, like I keep saying, where all my flaws that happened in my relationship were reflections of shit that I had trauma with growing up. Like, hiding shit from my wife when I had absolutely no reason to hide from her.
Damn.
But it's just habits.
It was just habits, and it was habits that I formed younger to protect myself from the dangers that I felt that were around me, type things. And mentally or physically, whatever the case may be. But it was always in the stem to protect myself, and a lot of young men do that. But in that, we hurt other people in the same way. So if you can find your own healing before you get into that relationship, learn yourself, find out who you are, find out what you want before you go and you try to interrupt someone else's life with your bullshit.
No, that's good. I mean, for me personally, why that was an important subject to bring up, and we spoke on it on High, the first episode, I Got Media. Go tune in and watch that on I Got Media, the YouTube channel, and just watch On High, the episode one. We elaborate on it a little bit. But whole slut or player, it's so hard to deal with those labels in today's society, because you don't know what those people are dealing with, what kind of trauma. Were they touched? Were they, you know, physically abused? Were they not shown enough love? And is this how they identify with love, or how they feel affection for people? And a lot of that has to do with stuff like pornography, right? And I'm on a cleanse right now, where I'm 13 days out of like watching pornography. I'm not addicted to it, but I want to remove myself from that, because I'm not a hoe, I'm not a slut, or am I a player? And those things normalize that behavior. I believe if you're a person who loves sex, you're open about your sexuality, and that's not a problem. You shouldn't have to be a man or a woman to enjoy these things and be labeled those labels. It's fucked up, and that creates so much mental health issues that people can fucking commit suicide from shit
and
like
anxiety.
That. And I just want to be one advocate who can, if I can help in any way, shape, or form, is speak out against that, is to stop with those things, stop with the labeling, stop with the fucking, you know, hey, let's all hate on this person because they do this and that in their own time. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
I will propose this question before we clap out of it, just for y'all to think on. So we were talking about how men are viewed as like hierarchy just because they're hoes and whatever.
Player.
So here's my question. Does the narrative change that when older men date younger women, they're looked at like they're disgusting, but when Jada went after August Alsina, she's glorified? Think on that.
Oh, we're going to have to come back.
Come back.
With that being said, we're going to jump back to break. we come back, we'll elaborate on this. It's getting fucking juicy. So yeah, go get some, come back, and we'll jump right back in. Hey guys, we're back. Fourth quarter. We might have some overtime. Anyways, moving forward. In prison with no bars, family over family. So I'm going to speak on family over family. What this is basically, so there was a clip earlier this week I saw on Instagram about Asuelu, who's made famous by the show 90 Day Fiancé. And basically what they do is they exploit my guy and how he's living in America with a limited amount of understanding. But he's a good guy, and what the clip had depicted was that Asuelu and his wife Kalani were meeting up with Asuelu's mom, discussing the matters of finances and why he hasn't sent money back home to Samoa to help out with the church and everything. And Asuelu's understanding from season one to where he's at now is extraordinary, because he understands that he has two boys, and he explains to his mom, the reason why he can't send the money they need is because he has to take care of his family over the family he comes from. And I think that's sad, because in our culture, in our community, what's normalized is that we have to take care of the village before we can take care of our family. And a lot of the times we cater to every other family, then our own family last. That's not normal, nor should it be normalized, period. If we're not taking care of what's at home first, everything falls apart. And that's what I wanted to bring up as far as family over family. You guys have anything to speak on?
So, I can relate to Asuelu. You know, not because I'm a fob, but, you know.
You don't use expensive words.
I can really relate to that, because I remember living in Tonga, and, like, my mom's every penny he had to send it to Tonga. And it was also kind of like, because of the fact that I was out there, she felt like
she was obligated to take care of everybody else.
And it wasn't even people that I live with, you know? It was a whole damn family. So that I can relate to that. But it also, coming back out here, living with my mom, and we were still sending stuff out there. I wasn't out there anymore, but she was still sending stuff out there, you know? And even stuff that was I brought from Tonga, you know, those puletasi and all that, that puletaha and stuff? I would wear it, and they sent it back to Tonga. Didn't that thing come from Tonga? You know what I mean? So it's like, we continue to help them. Not, they don't even know what we're dealing with out here. You know what I mean? Like the living out here is just so high up. In Tonga or even Samoa, you know, you can live off the land and you don't even have to pay for anything. So it's like, I feel Asuelu, like when I was watching that little clip, the thought in his mind was like, I love my family, but this is how I grew up. You can't mix the two. You gotta let go of it. One thing that I learned over the years, just being with you, babe, and even just doing this podcast, you cannot mix the culture with the way your growth is, because sometimes it can hold you back. You know what I mean? And this is one of the
things. You're speaking on tradition.
That's what I meant. Not culture. I'm sorry. Tradition. Because I love my culture. I love being Tongan. I'm, you know, and of course Samoan as well. But I'm only saying that because my nephew is here. But the one thing that I take from that is that we gotta let go of that tradition, because if not, it's gonna hold you back. It's gonna make you choose what and go from there. So yeah. Always. But that's what I got from you. What you got, DJ? Come here, baby.
I'm not gonna edit none of this shit out. This is great. I love it.
Go get him a banana. What you got, babe? Well, while we're waiting for DJ.
No, it's okay. He can come back on it. I think what's important is that, so my whole perception of family over family is like, for the longest time, me and my wife would have issues with my family when it came to me catering to my mother and my brothers and sisters, rather than me catering to our family first. Like, I would go over decisions with me and my mom rather than me and my wife. And she's my wife. I'm married to her. And why that's an issue, because, well, her and Bucky asked you to fucking go check on him. It's not like we're filming a fucking podcast.
Yes! Yes!
Anyway.
Yes!
Like I was saying, was that, go check on him. Just fucking walk through the camera. Shit.
This is real life, man.
Anyways, but, like, I would override a lot of the things that my wife should be a part of. It should just be me and her, but I'm over here elaborating with my mom. And that would hurt my wife a lot, to a point where she would hold it inside and wouldn't even tell me until we blew up and argued about it later. And that's not very good. It's not even healthy in a relationship where I'm going to go take care of my mom and dad and brothers and sisters, and then I'll come back to our family. Mm-hmm. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be normalized. I understand that some people practice those traditions to take care of you, you know, and pay homage back to your parents. But at the same time, you have to understand, if your parents didn't take care of themselves, you wouldn't be in that situation to, you know, send stuff back home. So my belief is that in order to take care of your family, you have to take care of your family first in order to make sure those people are good back home.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I'll just talk as DJ. Nah, no, it's true. It's a real thing. I think that become a big issue. Yeah. That because the tradition mixed in with that, it's almost kind of like, well, but you're my son. No, you're my daughter. You got to do this first before you can go cater to your wife and or husband. You know what I mean? But it's not fair. That's once the minute you get married and have your own family, or even just...
That's it.
Not a family. Like, just you and your wife or husband. It's right then and there. Like, this has become your first priority before your family. Like, you cannot go and help your family while your family over here is struggling. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and yeah. That's...
Well, right now, DJ's tending to his son, and that's not an issue. He can actually just talk to him. It's okay.
Yeah.
What do you have to say on the matter, bro?
Family over family. I mean, you guys already covered the culture aspect of it as well.
What's your perspective on the matter, though?
Coming from a real plastic Polynesian...
Don't classify yourself as mm-hmm. like, fuck that term.
Hey, I'll rip that perfectly because I'm still learning my culture and I'm proud of my culture.
Be telling you.
It's good. But anyways, so that's one thing that I have learned for the culture too, is that a lot of people, especially from our culture, especially from bouncing and stuff, they try to get you to let you slide with shit. Just because they're family.
Family card.
Damn.
There's too much toxicity.
Heck no.
Where a lot of us have found comfort through other people, through friends.
Let me get that discount.
Right. Or even just like, I've had so many friends that have checked on me more than my family.
Damn, that's fucking true.
And I've had a lot of homies.
Facts, period.
A lot of poly homies, like a lot of my osas, where their best friends were non-Polynesian. And a lot of people would turn, especially in our culture, they'll turn and they'll look at them like, oh, you're not really with the culture. He's not one of us.
Who the fuck are you to fucking determine that? Fuck that.
Yeah, like, no.
Hey, who is it?
Loyalty is over blood for me.
Yeah.
Like, loyalty, that blood, we may run through the same veins, but we are not the same.
Yeah.
Like, loyalty to me is more defined, more important, more valuable than anything else. And a lot of our own, we forget that.
Powerful.
Family could come from anywhere.
Powerful.
Not just the one that you were born with. So yeah.
Who is it? Let me go get them niggas.
It was you.
Nah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. You know, we can finish it off with that shit right here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool.
Go.
So in prison with no bars, and basically what that is sometimes, and I know too many people like this, and it kills me and it hurts me personally, like an emotional state when I can't help them get out of their mind. to imprison yourself and you're not behind bars is just the same as being in jail. Because you not only limit your way of thinking, you limit your own risks in life, you limit your own decisions in business. You limit your own ventures into, like, jobs that you could be potentially good for, but because, you know, you don't speak highly of yourself when you go to interviews, it's like it just stops there. What do you guys think about this mindset that I believe our community is very infected with? In prison with no bars.
Well, in prison with no bars, to me, I've seen a lot of people, like, obviously, I don't know personally, but from Nelson Mandela, and there's also a lady that's trying to run for presidency here, and she served time in prison. She's probably one of the only ex-cons that successfully is trying to become a president. But if that doesn't speak more on that these walls are more mental than anything, then I don't know what else is. I know a lot of people that are outside of prison itself, and they're in their own state of imprisonment through their own mental. Like, I know tons of people. Like, one of my close brothers that I fucking love, I see him give out his energy to anybody. He'll give his shirt off his back type of thing. And trust me, that shirt's big, so it could cover 3 people.
shout out to the boy.
I see him a lot, always giving, but never giving himself. And with those things, you kind of have to be selfish so you're not in your own imprisonment of your own mind. You need to start taking care of yourself. Other people will be okay, but you need to make sure you're okay before you start helping others as well. So yeah, that would be me.
For me, it's not so much. I mean, it's explainable. Like, you just see the word and you're gonna go off of it, but it's so powerful because it's a mental thing. You know what I mean? If you tell yourself you can't do certain things, you're just building a wall for yourself that you can't do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a real thing. Like, your mind is battling, like, as if you're in jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whatever your mind is thinking, mind is so powerful to a point where, like, whatever you're thinking at that moment, you're gonna go off in that moment. You know what I mean? So I don't have really much to talk about it, babe, but that's really what I have got for me. It's a mental thing.
So what I get from it is, like, I've seen somebody come from outside of the country and take advantage of every opportunity they've ever seized, from the smallest to the biggest opportunities.
Thanks.
And I've seen somebody of the country be defeated. Like, the game just started and you think it's over. Like, you could be at the age of 13, 18, 21, and for some reason you just feel like life is over. And what I believe it contributes to is perspective. If you see your mom and dad constantly giving up on things they start, constantly never finishing anything they jump into, constantly just jumping to the next thing because this didn't work out, that's all you're gonna know.
Yeah.
And I believe the problem with that is it's a crabs in bucket kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you saw them not make it, I don't think we'll make it. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, that's the narrative for the child once they see that. Or imagining somebody who is new to a country, has nothing to go off of but just a fucking dream, and says, fuck it, if we don't make it, we're just going to go 100% and fail at it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that attributes to just perspective. Like, if you imprison yourself now, fuck the bars. If you just imprison your mindset because you saw your parents fail, you saw your grandparents fail, you saw your brothers and sisters fail, you might as well just go to jail. Yeah. I don't say that to be insensitive. I say that's the same thing that people who are in jail for, because their opportunities were cut off and taken from them. And I'm talking about the population that's incarcerated unjustly because of their environment.
That's
just perspective. But what do you get from that?
No, you just said something. You were saying that if you see your parents doing that and you just be like, oh, I'm going to be like that.
That's just one case.
No, the reason why I'm saying that, because it applies to me. In the beginning of our relationship, I used to be like, damn, I'm going to get a divorce. Mm-hmm. That's just it. I don't want to try. I don't want to put the thought of even making it. This is it. I don't think this is going to make it. And every time we would argue, that was it. It was done. I don't have to think. I'll go off by going to jail. That's what I was thinking. So because I changed my mindset, and now I'm like, hell nah. I'm never ever gonna give that thought in my mind. But because I was already thinking that, I was trying to basically call it out as if like, oh, I'm getting a divorce this time. You know what I mean? Because the fight gets worse and worse in my mind. Does that make sense? So that's what I got from what you just said right now. So.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to give additional time, so we're going to go into overtime so we can cover on some subjects that we still had some thoughts on. But go ahead, get some water, and we'll come back, and we'll finish this out strong. All right. Okay, guys, so we're back for additional time, overtime. And we'll be covering postpartum depression and in prison with no bars. So we're going to go with postpartum depression. And I believe, DJ, you were talking about as far as like young men who are dealing with it now, how to cope with it on their side. Since we got Nene here now, she can elaborate what she was going through personally and, you know, hopefully shed light to somebody who's out there who can help get through it. So you guys go ahead and speak.
Well, I mean, I already spoke on it earlier, but, yeah, it's real. Yeah. It's real, and she can speak more on it.
I think that just, it's not something that people openly speak up about. Even though, like, it's something that women do go through, it's not something that's, like, as a first-time mom, you're like, oh, postpartum depression, you know? Sometimes... you don't realize you have it. Sometimes you're not educated well enough. Luckily enough, like, his mom educated him on it first before I even know I even went through it. Mm-hmm. So, and
that
then...
That wasn't until later, though. That was until after we already had Celia.
Yeah. See, when we had Celia and I was going through it, I didn't even know what it was. And then on top of that, anytime that, like, I came across another first-time mom, I just told them the truth. I was just like, oh, well, you might go through this. Because it's a real thing. But not a lot of people openly speak up about it or openly put that part of themselves out there because it's a really vulnerable thing that they go through. But it definitely is something that I feel like every first-time mom should at least just read up on it. Just so that they know signs. That because once you... know it and can identify it, it's a lot easier for you to be able to handle it or recognize it or find anything that helps themselves with it, especially as a first time mom, because and sometimes you don't even get in on your first kid. You'll get on your second, your third, or whatever, and you don't realize sometimes when you see someone else go through it and you don't speak up about it, it doesn't help them at all. And sometimes some girls, well, what I've recognized and seen that some girls who do go through it, do speak up about it, they end up, you get so many, like when I spoke up about it, I got so many girls in my DMs rather than a comment. Or I got so many girls saying, oh, well, thanks for speaking up about it.
Yeah.
It's because you speak up about things that are, it's a real thing. And you don't realize how much you help others when you just mention something about it.
That's true.
And it makes other girls feel like, okay, well...
somebody else is going through
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Mm. Earlier we were speaking, and why I was interested on it was... the study on it is so mysterious. Like, people can't explain it because it doesn't seem real. Like, they call it a phenomenon because they do the brain scans. There's something going on with the brain, but physically there's nothing wrong with the woman. Mm-hmm. And why it's so scary when you look at it from somebody who doesn't do... you know, PhD study for doctrines of this nature, it's sad to understand that somebody who has this child can't identify that this is their child, but is disconnected, not because it's a choice they're making, but because their body physically does not familiarize itself with this human being. And it's sad, like, no one can help you. There's no medicine out there, there's no treatment for it. It's more or less, hey, we can put you on this, and you'll be sedated as fuck, but that's it. That doesn't actually help you gain a relationship with the child. And it just hurts to know that women go through that and there's no one in the world who can help them. It almost looks like they're going fucking crazy.
Yeah.
The best thing that I myself personally is just support. sometimes when you don't know how to help, but just being there to help. Because imagine you just being 9 months pregnant, giving birth, having to recover, but still learn how to be a mom, still figure out how to keep going. Whether you're a first-time mom, second, third, fourth, whatever, you have to recover while keep going.
Yeah.
And your body and your mind, and you're exhausted. That's one of the biggest things, is you're exhausted, so.
Yeah, just to clarify, doctors don't, this is not a sickness, it's not a disease, it's a disorder in the sense that it can't be treated because physically it's not sickening the woman. They'll go days without showering, they won't eat, they won't socialize, only because the symptoms it's almost supernatural. Like, I don't know, like I would say from what I've read and what I've seen in documentaries on YouTube now, it's almost like somebody's in your body. Like that you're not familiar.
Like you had a baby and then something
From the cases that I was watching, and I can't put my head around it. I can't familiarize how that fucking feels, because it almost seems like you need to be institutionalized, because there's nothing wrong with you, but there's obviously something wrong with you.
Yeah, that's crazy, because even
it's real though. People, it is real.
Yeah,
it's
even
real.
People go like I even find myself even after having 4 kids. Like, I used to tell myself, like, nah, I'm stronger than that, you know? But then I find myself in my deep thoughts, and I'm like, wait a minute. Why am I doing that? But it could just be a minor where it leads on if you recognize it. You know what I mean? So,
especially, like, after having a kid, being exhausted, and while you're exhausted, you still have to try to give yourself time, strength, all of that, to try to pull yourself together to do the next feeding, to do the next changing, to keep going, keep the house up, all of that. And then it turns into a really, if you don't get your own rest off of that and you don't get the support and the help, your mental.
Yeah.
Your mental is taken. Damn. And then everything from that is physical.
Damn. That's crazy.
Yeah, I would say this about it though. Also, like, in my own personal experience, I feel like a lot of women do, especially working moms, sometimes they rush too quickly to get back into the workforce, even though their own mental wasn't fully healed from postpartum. I mean, postpartum could last a long time as well, but I feel like if you take that time for yourself, it could definitely help and help you condition to postpartum, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
It really intrigued me, because it's one of the disorders in the world where you can't explain it. No doctor can explain it.
Yeah.
It bothers me that you're a doctor, but you can't diagnose it properly. Yeah.
It's so true.
But Dr. Cannabis can help.
The studies haven't been done yet, so yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm
you guys
good
okay with that?
Yeah.
Thank you guys for sharing that.
Thank you for waking up after how many hours later.
Yeah, we're not editing none of that shit out.
Nope, heck no.
Moving forward. So that was postpartum, and what I wanted to share a little bit more time on was in prison with no bars. And that actually could correlate with postpartum depression, because to be imprisoned in your own body and feel like you have no way out is a scary fucking thought. I don't know it too personally, because I like to believe myself to be a very positive person, but then maybe it might take one bad day where my whole fucking life gets flipped upside down, and now I'm that guy that I'm always preaching about. I know kids personally that I work with that they put the smile on their face only to hide the fact that they're gonna go home, they have nothing to eat, mom's not coming home until the next day, and they're just lonely as fuck, and that can create a whole fucking dynamic where it's like, nobody loves me.
Yeah.
And you just don't feel that worth, you don't feel valued, and you know, that can lead to very bad and dire consequences to the person themselves. What do you guys think about that?
You guys can talk. I already touch up about it a little bit.
Prison, imprisonment and no bars.
Yeah.
So, well, we were talking about it earlier, and I had brought up a homie of mine. But also, imprisonment with no bars. We were already talking about it, like how it could affect very mentally and obviously physically as well. But it can definitely harm relationships.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your own wall, in your own mind, in your own mental, and those four walls are starting to cave in, it does really reflect in your own personal life. It's kind of like taking a wild animal and then trapping it in a cage for 9 months, not feeding it, and then finally letting it out. And
it's going to be fucking rabid.
100%. And I feel like most people go through it. I know that myself, I went through that. I go through it all the time. Me and my wife, we fight all the time still till now. It's when it comes to me, my own personal battles, it's sometimes it's hard trying to find that key to unlock your own mental, you know, trying to find some type of balance or some type of stability that makes you feel okay. That, because also, how was I saying it? That rabid animal that gets out of that cage doesn't know how to act once it's out of the cage. And then for myself, I was like that a lot. Once I would start talking about my emotions, I started talking about myself or any of that, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to translate it. I didn't know how to communicate it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to, especially, you know, with me and my wife, it's just, I've never had the opportunity to speak on it. So when it was unfamiliar, uncharted territory, very uncomfortable, but you have to be able to get through that. You have to make the uncomfortable comfortable if you want to keep progressing and growing.
So I shared a conversation with somebody very close to me. He's family, but I'm not going to put his name out there. He came from Thonga, and he was only good at rugby. He wasn't really good at anything else, not school, none of that shit. He didn't graduate. So he's only focused on making it in America, just playing rugby. And he kind of built this fucking tunnel or facade that if I make it in rugby, then I'm good. You're imprisoning yourself because you don't understand the opportunities. You're limiting yourself. And when, you know, he moved to Sacramento, stayed in the house for other guys trying to make it. And when he understood that there's not only just this, these other guys trying to make it just as bad as I want to, but I'm coming from another country. What chance do I have? And it was sad. I kind of saw him, his mentality start to deteriorate when guys he knew he was better than make it with better opportunities that he had. One guy went to England, another guy went to Spain, and he was asking himself, and I heard him, he asked me one time too, if I thought he was good enough. And I told him, you're probably the best guy I know. But because he doubted himself and he questioned his abilities, he ended up putting himself in a prison, and, you know, he would drink himself away and question if he ever, you know, still had it. And it sucks to know that people like that lose their opportunities because of a perspective. You know what I'm saying? And I try to get away from people who think like that, only because I don't think it's contagious, but it's not healthy. Because if you can't help the person, you're actually enabling the person every day when they just share their thoughts, but nobody's giving them resolution to figure it out. I think a good way of helping that person is kind of helping them through denial and telling them, hey, you have a problem, and I think you should see a doctor. But then also, like, helping them get away from their environment. And this guy, man, fucking potential, dude, that he had. I'm not just talking about just because he was an athletic freak, but because coming from a country and that's all you knew, there's no reason why you shouldn't make it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
that's crazy, because even just go on to our parents, even for myself, if I didn't change my mindset, you know, just working, sometimes we think that that's all it is here.
That's it. Yeah. That's
and,
the end game.
Work and like, die. When you work, that's it. Like, forget all your dreams, forget all that. I'm going to work until I die, which is a sad mentality. Because I almost had that when I had Mama. I decided to go back to work because I was like, that's all I'm good at. Nothing else. Imprisoning yourself because you're telling yourself you're not good enough for anything else. Because that's all you've known. You know what I mean?
Sometimes also you interpret, like, for us, because we see our parents work hard, we think that that's
if you're not doing it, that's the
goal. But also you don't realize that our parents came here to survive, to get a better life.
Yeah. It was their generation.
So it's our turn to take
change
that,
it.
Exactly,
take
and to give them, you know, better light on how to raise our kids at the same time, too. And
that's true.
And just touching up on that whole imprisonment, when you do that to yourself, you diminish your own self-value to yourself.
I agree.
And you don't give yourself self-care. You don't give yourself self-love. And when you do that, it just all stuck there.
Yeah.
No, it's true, because now he's
Sadly,
just not doing anything.
Sadly, I'm not trying to to bring up your mom, babe, but she works hard, like really hard for her family. And it's sad because you never see her take vacation.
Yeah, that's exactly
never
what
see her, yeah, see her take time for herself. Yeah. And like, because in her mind, I'm happy. No, you're not. Because when you take a vacation right then and there, you see how happy they are. But it's like you're only thinking, damn, who's going to support? Exactly. If you really just take the leap of faith to be like, forget it, I'm out. Dude, you'll be surprised. So,
you got anything to share, DJ, before we close up?
Yeah, just real quick. I know we're short on time, but
you're good.
I know, especially with the imprisonment, there was a lot of times, and my wife can validate. There's a lot of times when we got together. There's so many people that gave me opportunities and different avenues that I wanted to pursue, whether it was football, whether it was musical, whether it was tons of things. Like, I had random people come up to me, and they would tell me, man, you could go far if you do this, you could go far if you do that. But even though just random strangers came and were validating me, my own mental was like, you'll never be able to do that. What the hell are you thinking? And it's crazy. Once you do find that key that I was talking about, literally everything's coming to fruition, anything that I thought. Once you unlock your mind, you unlock yourself, and you allow yourself to explore, that's when you can come out and be on top.
You give yourself growth from there on out. Yeah. It's going to be uncomfortable, but the only way to grow is to actually just do it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just believe in yourself. Just if nobody is, at least you believe in yourself. You know? That's all it takes, just one person. Once you could convince one person to do it, everybody else will follow suit.
Yeah.
I agree with that. You do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's been another installment of I'll Set the Podcast, Episode 6. We're taking a mid-season break, and we'll come back a week after. If you're not already caught up with Season 1 and the episodes that have previously been aired, you know, go ahead and take that time to do it now. But you know, thank you, DJ, and late-ass Nini for coming on to our podcast. Is there anything you'd like to say before we go?
Me?
Any yeah, just like a final thought or final...
Tune into our episode. Black out, you know, when I walk through.
DJ?
I appreciate you guys for having us on again, man. I love you guys. You already know what it is. This is family over family type of stuff. Yes. Day one stuff. And seeing you two grow through this platform, I'm proud as fuck of both of y'all. Just seeing your guys' growth. You guys, what, not even 6 months yet doing this podcast?
Yeah, no, I don't want to think about it.
Just seeing the outreach that you've received in general, even whether it's positive or negative, you're stirring conversation, and you're bringing up things that need to be talked about. And I'm fucking happy for you both. Can't wait to see what life has in store a year from now, let alone 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. I hope you two continue to thrive, and I can't wait to see what you guys look like on top.
Thank you for that. We'll all be there.
Yeah. Thank you guys for taking the time. Like you said, you know, just like as much as you guys are helping us, when we talk about this subject and this content, we're going up, you know, we're all winning. So for everybody else that's tuning in, just know this is our own experience. We're not better than anybody out there. This is just a growth from here on out. So,
yeah. And with that, I'm just going to close with, I said earlier, why drink and cry when you can smoke and fly? So,
oh, God.
Once again, that's episode 6. I'll send the podcast, Nini and DJ. We love you guys. Above all else,
God bless.